Lord, we thank you so very much.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Woo! I so much appreciate the Spirit of the Lord. Yes. Pastor Abednego, it's great to have you here. Yes. Joseph called me this morning. He said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because he knew I was having an understanding. What are you saying is coming to our church? Abednego? What's an Abednego? No, it's a person. Praise the Lord. So it's good to see you. Thank you for being here. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Man, it's here. Father God, thank you, Lord. I pray right now again, Lord, your Spirit would come and in your word and it would hit the targets right now, Lord Jesus, that it would not just be in our minds, but it would touch our hearts, Father God. Lord, that'd be written on the tin plate of our hearts, your word, Father God, that breathes life. And as Jake was just praying again, breathing new life and a resurrection revival spirit from your word, Father God. Let it be a revelation. Hallelujah, and a turning, Lord God, that we come and turn our eyes to you, Lord Jesus, that there's healing in your wings, and there's restoration in your love, and I just thank you so much, Father God, in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Well, hello, hello, thank you, Lord. I want to start in 2 Corinthians 3, and I do have some scriptures, quite a few, and I just pray the Spirit would just guide me to the direct ones he wants us to hit this morning. But I really felt in the Spirit, as last weeks have been going on, I really felt a book came to mind of The Final Quest. And it's an old book from Bible school that about 20 years ago, Sandy, that we went on this book. It was The Final Quest by Rick Joyner. And it began to bring me back to the time of epic battles of last days, as Jake was just sharing, that we were coming into the end days. And I wanted to share from Corinthians and a few other scriptures, but Rick Joyner said, in the conclusion of this book, he wrote another book right after this, but he said that epic battle of the last days will be won between slavery versus freedom. It's slavery versus freedom. And I really feel that in the Spirit, that there is a slavery and a freedom battle that is going on right now in the hearts of man. It's happening in our country, and it's happening in those things. So if you go to 2 Corinthians 3, Paul was talking about the law. And chapter 3, verse 3, and I'm going to jump around a little bit. But he was talking about, you show that you are a letter from Christ. He's talking about us. The result of our ministry, written not on ink, but the Spirit of the living God. Yes. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. He's talking about what is happening on the inside. The miracle of the cross affecting us. In our hearts, not something external. The law was powerful in itself. You think about what the people of Israel did with the law, the fact that they defeated so many enemies and walked through times of difficult situations. It was glory in that. But how much more now that the law and that Christ has actually come into our hearts and done something tremendously more powerful and accomplished it. So he's going on, he said there's great confidence in that. And I really believe right now that God is wanting us to walk in confidence, knowing that he has touched our hearts and he has put something inside of us that is so much more powerful. It's not external. We fight external. It's internal. It's an internal power that he's given us. And Paul is saying, hey, he's redacting. You know what? It was glorious. But how much more glorious do we live now because of what was done on the cross? And I want to skip down. You can read through that, but I want to skip down to the verse 17. And he says, now the Lord is the Spirit. He's Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And this was brought up yesterday. Danny was talking about this in prayer yesterday. There is freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. There's one place where the Spirit of the Lord that casts, and then you talk about slavery. But where God is, there is no slavery. There is no slavery where the Spirit of the Lord is. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Come on. It's grabbing a hold of the wonder, and the consequence of having the Spirit of the Lord is that you have freedom. Yes. Come on. The Lord's glory. And verse 18, and we all, with the unveiled faces, this is our hearts, being opened up to who God really is, the nature and the glory of God, are being transformed into his image with an ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Come on. It's transformation, Sandy. It's transformation in the very fact that the nature of God is in us. Paul talks about so many times, Christ in us, the hope of glory. I am the righteousness of Christ because of what Christ has done for us, right? Jesus said And this gets back, before I go there, and I want to read this. Could I read this part of this book? I love this book because it's so image-based. I love imagery. And this is a vision. Rick Joyner went into a trance. And when he was in that trance, God brought him to a place. And he brought him to a place of the last day battle. And he began to see with his eyes what's happening in the spirit. But I'm going to read out of page 17, just a small paragraph. And he said, the primary strategy of this army was to cause division on every possible level of relationship. Churches with each other, congregations with their pastors, husbands and wives, children and parents, and even children with each other. The scouts were sent out to locate openings in churches, families, individuals that rejection, bitterness, lust, etc. could exploit and make larger. Then the following divisions would go and pour through these openings and completely overcome their victims. Jesus and Paul was trying to get across to us was that the law didn't save us and heal our hearts. Rejection and bitterness is a place that comes from within our hearts. And you could go to jail. I know a lot of people. I don't know a lot of people in jail, but I go and I see people in jail. You guys aren't in jail. I know you guys. You know you guys in jail. But I go to people and I talk to people in jail, and the law came, and when they broke the law, guess what? They went to jail. Did anything in the heart get healed? Was there any restoration in the heart? Was there any healing going on in the heart when you broke the law? Absolutely not. You paid your price, and then you went on, and you got back into society. Those words, those things that we do, the law cannot change what is in a man's heart. And that's the big dilemma that happened. And when Jesus prophesied Ezekiel, he says, you know what they need? I'm going to give them a new heart and a new spirit. Guess what I'm going to give them? I'm going to give them my spirit. I'm going to give them my heart, right? And that's what Jesus said in John 3. He says, Jesus answered, verily, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth into spirit. You should not be surprised when I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases, and you hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone born of the Spirit. I want to tell you something. When you were born again, something amazing happened to us. And I think we forget of it because the Bible says it's the joy of our salvation. I am saved, born again. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is now dwelling in me. So that means there's a different standard. There is something that I can draw off of from the inside now that lives in me and is actually required. Now that you're born again, it's actually the proper response. It would be illegal behavior for me to act as if I was in the world and do what the world does, right? Because that's not who I am. I'm not of this world. The Bible says I am born again. Where am I born again of? The Spirit from man or the Spirit from the living God? You are born again from a fresh, whole new spirit that comes from heaven. So guess what resources are attached to that? Heaven's resources. Because you're born again, you are my brother. And when you got up in your prayer, my spirit leaped because we are of the same spirit. When he started preaching or started praying, I was like, it's my brother. He's my brother. And I got excited in my spirit. And when he began to play, I leaped. That's what happens in the spirit. We're all brothers and sisters of the Lord. And when we begin to speak and we begin to edify and pour out the word, our spirit leaps because we have the same spirit, the spirit of Christ that's raised Christ from the dead. It dwells in me. Come on. And that's the joy of our salvation. Nothing takes anything away. So Paul says, listen, don't go back to the law. The law was good, but don't go back there. Well, you got to do this and do this. Rather not capture what God has done, what Christ has done in our hearts and respond accordingly. He's trying to write something in our hearts. And like it talked about in the epic battles and it talked about the final quest, he said it was a relational battle. And I believe the first and most important relationship that you will ever have is the relationship that you have with your Father God. It's completely relational. If you are uncertain about your relationship with Father and Daddy God, it's going to affect all your ability to access all His nature, all His goodness, and everything that we have. There's a great example of that. I know Sandy and Jake. I have not known Sandy and Jake my whole life, but there was a time where I lived at Sandy and Jake's house. Right? When I was 15 years old, Jake says, hey, do you want to do some work? And I didn't know what I was getting in for. But when I did it, I said yes. And they gave me a room downstairs. And that was my room. So when you come into somebody's house and it's not your house, you don't know what you should do, right? I mean, you try to be respectful. The biggest thing is you don't want to do something that would, what, offend them, right? You know what I mean? It's their home. You know, it's not my home. It's their home, right? So you come in there. So I go to my room. I know it's my room. I can do what I want. But now they have other rooms in the house. They have rooms that are called the kitchen, right? And every time you get hungry, you want to go to the kitchen. Now, do you feel like you, if you don't know someone, that you could just go in their house and go to their kitchen and start eating? Absolutely not. I don't feel like I can just go to your, can I go to your place? You know, maybe, no, I can't. What would happen? Would that offend you? Maybe we need to work on that. But hey, no, I wouldn't either. My wife wouldn't like it either. If someone came into our house and just started cooking and all that stuff, you're like, okay, that's a little uncomfortable, but what are you doing? So now we come into God's house. Not just this building, but the house of God. And there's food in his kitchen. There's everything that we'll ever need. It's to talk about fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Jake's talked about those nine things. All of that stuff is there for us, but if we think God is standing by watching, and we go up and we say, don't touch that! You can't have that fruit right now. We don't want to offend or get in trouble. If we think that God's standing by and we have to do everything by the law and get it all right, right? But if I know in my heart, Jake and Sandy's heart towards me, right? There's a freedom there to raid their fridge. And I bet you Sandy would even like it if I helped myself and enjoyed myself at your house. Wouldn't you like that? Just help yourself. But there's something that has to happen. And see, I have to capture Sandy's heart. And the biggest thing that we need to capture is the heart of God. God's heart towards us. It's not foreign, like law written out there. He wants to write it on the tablet of our hearts so that we know. Man, it's everlasting. So I was getting images of fruits of the Spirit. So I said, well, fruit, you know, I'm not a fan of fruit a lot. But if it was the joy of my salvation, was like a fruit, I saw, like, you ever see in Pizza Hut, the great big pizza ovens? You ever watch the pizza come out of the ovens? Come on, Mary. Come on, seriously. Like, you've never watched the pizza come out of the ovens in anticipation for your hot, fresh pizza. How about at the Pennington? They got one, too, there in Pennington. Or at Domino's. None of the pizza places? How about when it's in the oven and it's cooking and you're watching it cook and you're like, man, can I get someone else to pick? Andy? Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. You're watching in anticipation of this joyful pizza. Yes. But let's talk about the kingdom, but we're going to attach it to the pizza right now. And the pizza kept, and I saw this image or vision or whatever you want to call it, but I saw the pizza keep coming. And it was one pizza and it never stopped. It was like an everlasting pizza coming out of the oven. And you could take as much. The Lord says, I have the abundance of joy. It is the joy of my salvation. What do I love about that? Is that my salvation is eternal and it's never ending. It's going to keep on. Nobody can take that away. Nobody can take away your salvation. So no matter what goes on in our lives here on earth, we are sons and daughters. We have a spirit. We have an inherent nature given from God that comes, and it's a part of the fruit, and it's never-ending joy that comes from our salvation, and that pizza just keeps coming and coming, and there's something that just brings so much joy to me when I think that it will never end. No, come on. Okay, it's not pizza. Think of something you like. Put that in there. What do you really like? A food is something that's everlasting and it's always there. That's the joy of our salvation. That is a continuing that will never end. And this is where we come into knowing who God really is. You are so welcome to come to my house. He says, boldly come to the throne room of grace. His grace is limited. His grace is without measure. His grace is ever continuing. There's more and more. It's going to keep on coming and coming. So guess what? Even though the law was something that was very hard to attain, God is writing and he's showing his very nature of who he is in our hearts that we can run to him and say, yeah, you know what? It's not about my behavior. It's about who he is. And when I get to know him that way, that I can come to him, guess what? It never ends. And it's absolutely very exciting. And here's the thing. It's happening right now in your life. There are encounters that you're having right now in life in this battle. Yes. Relational. First, it's with you and God. God, is your love inexhaustible right now for me? Because you know what? I'm feeling exhausted. Come on. I remember going through high school. I remember periods and times of life I didn't understand why I felt as tired as I felt. I was a young man, about 15 years old. I had all the energy and strength you would think a 15-year-old would have, but there was something that was causing me to be exhausted, right? If God's love and his kingdom is inexhaustible, then we have to understand when Paul was talking about the kingdoms of this world, when he's talking about the law, he goes and he says, this world is limited. And it will dry up. And in fact, it will kill you. It will dry you up to a place where you can no longer feed off it. And you have to find something else. I want to go to Romans 8. Because he talked about two things that we allow ourselves to be governed by. He says, we can be governed by the flesh or we can be governed by the Spirit. So in Romans 8, I just want to, you know, in here I just copied and pasted. So I actually don't have the verses here, Deb. So I'm just going to read and hopefully you can find it, but it's in chapter 8. But it says, the Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, which gives life, say, give life. Yes, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For the law was powerless, right? But God did it by what? Sending his own son in his likeness of sinful flesh to be our offering. So this is what he did. So flesh is condemning, but in order that righteous requirement of law might be fulfilled, Jesus did what he did according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on the flesh and desires, but those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on the Spirit and its desires. He says there's two governing bodies. One is the flesh. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but mind governed by the Spirit is what? Life and peace. The mind that is governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The Spirit is a wild thing because Jesus said himself, it's like the wind. You don't see it coming. You can hear it, but you don't know exactly where it's going. And you don't always know exactly where it wants to send you. And in fact, it might have you doing things that move you by the Spirit that would normally never ever do. You might take a road that you've never ever gone on before to meet someone that you've never ever met, to release something that you have never ever released into somebody's life that would change the face and course of the history of the world. But when you have the Spirit of God, there is life and there is peace. So I ask you something right now, in that which is governing your mind right now, is there life and is there peace? Just think about it. Do a self-examination of your own life. If my governing mind right now towards this situation, is that bringing me life or peace, or is that what? Exhausting me. Am I feeling despair, discouragement? Am I feeling depression? Because I'm telling you, when I was 15 years old and I was going through what I was going through, it wasn't like I was like a super bad kid or anything like that, but I was encountering the world and I was saturated in the things that the world was promoting. Well, you should feel really good. You're really good at football and you're really good at basketball. Well, I wasn't really good at basketball. Well, I was good at football. And I would get praise from this world, and it'd make me feel good for a little time. But I'm telling you, something was drying up on the inside of me. And I didn't have peace, and I didn't have life. Yes. Man, you got 3 sacks that game. Mill Anderson, the old Anderson, Marvin Anderson. I had this game. Come up to this guy. I was normally inside, but I went outside for a couple of defensive tackles. I was on the outside, and 3 times in a row, I sacked a guy. And the last time I took him, I slammed the ground, and his earpieces, there's these little rubber earpieces, flew off of his helmet. And Marvin, he comes up to me, and he goes, that Tommy, that's Too Tough Tom over there. So he called me Too Tough Tom. And you know what? I felt good. I was like, yeah, that's right. That's right. But you feel good for a period of time, right? It feeds you. But you know what? It fades. Yeah, that was my, there was two, you remember Too Tall Tom Szymanski from The Weather? Okay, so I'm Too Tough Tom. Come on, when I'm on the field, Danny, you put me on the field at DN, we'll see what, you be the quarterback, we'll see how you feel about that. Huh? And Danny's another one, Danny and Linda, I used to, yeah, Danny fights dirty, so you gotta watch out. But he loves you, so he gets away with it. Danny and Lynn are another great examples of unconditional love. Yeah. I lived in their basement. Yeah. And I would come to their house somehow every time they eat. And these guys don't eat regular hours. You never know. But I would capture it in the spirit. And I would knock on their door somehow right around when food was coming. Oh, come on in, Tom. And I have always felt at home with the Packers. And that ministers you. That's like access. There's such great joy there. Come on. That comes from receiving something that you've received in God. It's an unconditional love. So we're allowing these governing things, and you know in your heart when something's not right now, because the Spirit of God that raised Christ is in you. And he's not convicting us, he's not condemning us, but he does convict us, and he says, you know what? That's not you. He convicts us of righteousness. He says, Tom, this isn't you right now. And he comes, and he kind of comes, maybe he'll come like, hey, how's it going? What's up, Tom? Not condemning, but we can do that to each other. We can say, hey, Danny, how's it going? You know, what's going on? And he does that. He says, how are you? And you know right away in your heart. And you can kind of go, oh, I'm fine, da-da-da. No, what's going on? And he ministers us with his unconditional love. Though my behavior or my actions would show the contrary, he still is relentless in his love and his passion towards us. That's who he is. So when I know that about God, that he's just relentless, like I have not been like really good at reading the Bible, da-da-da. You can go ahead and condemn yourself and your actions, but you find yourself in a place. So when I was 15 years old, I spent no time reading the Bible. I spent barely any time in church because I was so busy going to school and doing all these activities that my spiritual life, the spiritual food that I really needed was dormant, and I was starving. And I remember the prayer, and this is super spiritual, but it just was like this. It says, God, you got to help me. And I remember a love come in like a flood, and I only acknowledge him. And I just remember this thing on my heart that was so, so heavy began to just release. I was still going to school, I was still doing, but that release, that weight was gone because I acknowledged him. I said, okay, this is where I belong. This is where I belong. This is home to me. And I find that in relationships, God has given us his nature to continually walk in. And if I don't walk in the Spirit, if I don't walk in his nature and his goodness, if I don't reflect that, that's the second part, is our relationship with him. But the second part is our relationship with others. Our second part is our relationship with others. And we'll find a lot about how our relationship is with God when we're tested with our relationship with others. And this one gets me. He's like, you know, when I'm having a difficult time with somebody, God reminds me of where I was and what he did for me. And that straightens me out pretty quick. Well, what did you, you know, I think, well, what did you do? Did you deserve? You know, this person that I've been working with so long, this is in general, just a made up person. But I've been working so long with this kid, and his name's Lucas, and he still's not getting it. And I tell you what, if he doesn't get it by next week, he's out. He better learn to use the toilet right or he's gone. That's the law. If you don't do it right, you're out and you're going to be punished. But is that God? Seriously, is that God? Is that the way he treated me when I wasn't getting it right? Because I think there was things that I wasn't getting right for a very, very long time that I didn't grasp. And there's some things maybe that I'm still getting worked on, Sandy. Could you imagine? I need to upgrade some things, Grant. Upgrade. Here we go. Patience is like, whoa. Authority's fun. You know, when God's teaching about authority, that's great. In Jesus' name be healed. Wow, something happened. But when he gets on patience, that's not very fun. You know, patience, God's working on patience with you guys. You guys got to sit through Tom's sermon for like 30 minutes. You're kidding me. We got to sit through the preaching for 30 minutes. Lord, oh, I can't believe this. Does anybody get coffee or something? Maybe I'll get a cup of coffee so that I can endure Tom's sermon. I got to go to the bathroom. 30 minutes. The truth is, what does God think about you? Stop thinking about what you think about. What does God honestly think about you? And I've listened to prophetic words for all you guys, a lot of you guys. And I've listened. I couldn't hear one negative thing about you at all. In fact, I heard nations transforming. I heard rising up warriors. I have game changers. You are the light of. I've heard so many powerful things. I couldn't hear one negative thing out of all of that. And that's what God thinks of you? Really? And here's the predominant thing. Life by the Spirit will jump at that, but life according to the flesh will absolutely reject it. So one wants to keep you. Who wants to keep you in the flesh, and who wants to keep you in the Spirit? Right? You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit. Right? Yes. That's who we are. And that's what we're being tested in the nature that we have received, in everything that we have received from God, the very nature in His Spirit, in His joy, His love, His compassion, His inexhaustible mercy and grace and His peace needs to be reflected in His people. That, why? That He gets the glory. So the very fact right now that you could be in a situation right now that is not of this world, that you would have to show an unconditional love or unconditional peace or enjoy in that experience, would give God the glory, because this man is not from this world. This woman is not from this world. So we should not shrink from these opportunities, but rather realize that this is a time and a moment in a life, in the history of the church, that God's church will arise and shine, because it's not about us. Again, like Paul said, it was about that we have received an unconditional, a greater glory, a greater covenant by the Spirit of God that would rise up inside of us, and that people would look and say, who is that? Where did you get that power from? Where did you get that joy? Because you know what? I'm exhausted. I'm tired, and I've tried, but where do you get it from? And it's happening right now in the world. It's happening right now in our government. It's happening right now in relationships. Things are coming up in people that are revealing, that are icky, and it was prophesied by Kim Kumlin that the world that would be revealed, that the Democratic Party, things would be revealed. And now what's our response? I told you them Democrats were evil. We could respond in condemnation, and we could say, get them out of there. We could. That's what the world would do. I got you now, right? We got Hillary now. She's not. That's the mindset of this world. And that's what puts us in fear and condemnation, is when we react that way with other people. It's a trap. It is. It's a trap. Can you ask yourself this question and get an answer? How does God see Hillary Clinton? Honestly, the law would say guilty. But the Spirit of the Lord would say something different. I miss her. She's my daughter. Would someone demonstrate to her my unconditional love? What happened to you when you were doing what you were doing? And someone didn't stop praying for you. Someone didn't stop praying for Tom. I remember coming to church just broken, and Fran Tweet looked at me and she said, it's breaking my heart. Said, it's breaking my heart seeing what's happened to you. And sometimes we don't say anything, but praise God that someone would care enough for me that they would actually just say that. And it wasn't even condemning, it was nothing. But you know what? We go through things sometimes, and we sit back and we talk. Well, I wonder what's happening to Tom. Oh, he's struggling, that Tom. But Fran got a hold of me. You know Fran. Oh, yeah. And she said, Tom, it's breaking my heart. And something happened in my spirit, because what it was her spirit and the heart, she was giving it to me, because I needed that. I didn't need someone to tell me what to do anymore. I didn't need people, well, you're doing this and this and this right. I needed someone just to love me and speak what God would speak to me. And sometimes when we get so caught up, and that's the plan of the enemy when I was reading it, was that we would be so governed by the natural man and rather be governed by the Spirit. We would look at all these things and shake our head, oh, this world's terrible. That's not who you are, because God loves the world. He loves every single one in this world, and He's gave up everything just to see Him. So if you would look at Him through His eyes, would you keep saying the things you say? Would you keep treating the people around you the same way, with discontent and contentment? No, you wouldn't, because God didn't do that to you. He didn't do that to you. He didn't relent His love from you. In fact, He went above and beyond to pay every price and everything so that you could encounter Him, that you would have the opportunity to reach out. And like I was praying that one day, I said, God, you got to do something. And He was able to show up. Why was He able to show up? Because of what Christ did on the cross. I was no longer required by the law to do some crazy sacrifice or anything like that. I could simply come before the throne and lay everything down before the Lord and say, all right, God, here I am. I don't even know what's going on in my heart right now, but I know you have something that I need. I didn't know what it was, But I knew something had to happen. Could it be a season of time that God is calling the church to arise, that to look beyond what we've even experienced, look beyond what we've actually had in the past, something greater that he says you need to respond, not by actions of ritualistic things, but by the Spirit of God, that you begin to do something just because you feel the Spirit say, you know what? I need to say something to Tom because I'm feeling something in the Spirit and my heart's breaking from him. I got to say something to, to so-and-so. I need to release something in the Spirit. And when you respond by the Spirit, the Lord says, where the Spirit of the Lord is where I am, and that's where freedom is, and it sets me free. It sets you free. If I respond in any other way, you're not free. If I'm governed by any other thing, I'm not free. So the enticement of this world is constantly trying to teach you how to govern yourself by thoughts of man and logic and reason. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, that's not what we're governed by. We're governed by the Spirit of the Lord, not by this world, but by the Spirit of God. And it's calling out to us in the Spirit, and I want to be released. Sandy, can I share your testimony or no? Okay, but Sandy, we were talking about people in our lives. This isn't Sandy, this is another story. But we're talking about people in our lives that we were encountering and the places and things that we need to do, and we need to unconditionally love people in our lives. And what does that look like? And when we do that and when we release that, guess what happens? There's freedom in you. There is freedom in you. And no one else controls that but you. Regardless of how you're treated, regardless of what's going on right now in this country, guys, there's absolute and total freedom. The Spirit of the Lord is freedom. No matter what situation, circumstance, we get caught up, this is who we are. This is what we're meant. This is our identity, guys. This is the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that absolutely dwells inside of us, right? The biggest battle that we face is not ISIS. It's not Iran. It's not North Korea. It will be in our very own hearts towards God, and it'll be towards even our own Christian brothers. That's the biggest fight we will ever face, is between our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Because once we break through, I'm telling you, once we break through, that I could be up here and Sandy could say something, it doesn't matter because I know Sandy and I'm not giving up on Sandy and Sandy's not giving up on me. That's a unity of power and strength that the enemy has no chance against. So guess what the biggest battle will be? It will be against the brothers and sisters, the Christian body. So how can we demonstrate God's love? How can we show, despite what has been going on, how can we demonstrate that to each other? And that's the shift. That was Peter McHugh's shift. He said, listen, do we love well? And do people know us by God in us, or do they know us just by our external reactions to everything? Come on, it's being tested absolutely right now. And the difference is the difference between freedom and slavery. I am not free when I don't respond, when I don't allow the Spirit of God to minister not only just to myself, but to release other people in my life into His hands in situations and circumstances. Right now, by the Spirit of God, I'm telling you, there are people in our life, there's even ourselves, that we need to look at ourselves differently. There's a great need for God's people to embrace who God really is and see Him and have things written on our hearts to another dimension that we have never seen it before, because it is so needed. It is so needed, not just for you, is that we could be set free, that we could be completely free, as they say, free to love, free to give. Right? Without condition. When Jake talks about finances, when we talk about things, oh, we should be doing this and we should be doing that. I get it. We should be. But we cannot lose what God has done. We cannot lose the heart and the love of God that He's brought us to this place. It is the very thing that keeps us free in everything we do. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's always freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. Hallelujah, Lord. And where there's places where we've even abandoned, the Lord's bringing us back to those places because He says, your assignment's not finished there. This is who you are. This is what you need to complete. Come on, He has not changed His mind about us for one second. He is relentless, and His plan is absolutely and so positively amazing. As we were sharing in youth the other day, we talked about the fruits of the Spirit, and part of the consequence of not walking in the fruits of the Spirit is tiredness, exhaustion, depression. And the enemy wants to keep us there. But we don't get free from depression by trying not to be depressed. We don't get free from anger by trying not to be angry. We rather get free from that stuff by embracing who God is for us and just basking in His goodness and His love. Despite my behavior, God, you still love me. And it begins to break off. And I believe, Lord, what do I really believe about who you are right now? Because you know what? I need an upgrade in who you are, who you can be for me right now. I need an upgrade. Because this person or persons or myself, I don't see myself that way. I don't see myself that way. Or I don't see this person this way. And it's blocking and it's restricting my ability to walk in the Spirit. Because anytime that situation, person, or myself comes up in that area, I go back to a different governing body. And it just doesn't work anymore. And God continues to bring us to that same place again and again. There's that person. Oh, man, let's go this way. You know, there's that person, Tom, that I was talking about. Oh, these are grace givers in our life. Lucas, you're a grace giver. Lucas, you're a grace giver. Jalen, you're a grace giver, and I'm not going to quit. But I got to learn to tap into an unexhaustible grace and an unexhaustible love to continue to press on and be free to do what God has called me to do. I know I have to continue to reach in there. I could go back to another governing body, but it would be wrong and it would be not freeing. There are patterns and there are cycles that are about to be broken. There are patterns and cycles that are about to be broken in our lives. Because it's the difference between slavery and freedom. And it's coming up right in our face. And you're going to see it, and you know it. God's making it very, 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 very clear. Why? Because he's excited about you, and he wants you to get it. It's not condemning, but he's put you in a position where you get to discover and know a greater dimension of God's love and grace on your behalf. If we look at it that way, rather than what we shouldn't be doing, but rather what is about to be grasped hold of in the Spirit, it was like these diets that Dr. Mark said. Rather than think about the food that you can't have, why don't you think about what is at your hand? What is at your hand? Unexhaustible joy? Unexhaustible peace? Love? Those are nice. I mean, what it comes down to what you believe and how we interact with that. And it's going to happen again. So there's people in situations right now where, Lord God, show me who I really am and who you really are to me, that I may demonstrate and walk in your Spirit in this situation, because there's something that's taking my peace. There's something that's trying to take my life in this matter. Come on, let's stand this morning. I really want us to respond to the Spirit of God. I don't even want you to come up. I don't want anything like religious or ritualistic. Rather than that, you respond to the Spirit of God, wherever he's at, and whatever that looks at like, come on. Whether that's writing a letter to yourself, whether that's asking God the very simple question, Lord Jesus, I need you right now. I need you right now because I know in my heart right now I'm not in a good place. And there's people that are just around us that it's just like we watch struggle sometimes and we don't say anything. And we sit back and we go, oh, it's tough. But I would ask you, as I'm asking myself, just to reach out and out of love. Say, you know what, I know something's going on. And you don't have to tell me everything, it's fine. But I want you to know that I'm for you right now. And that's nothing's going to change no matter what you've done. People love this house because it's a house where they think they know they're safe. No matter what you've done, no matter what mistakes you did, no matter where you've been in life, we have received an unconditional love from a Father that breaks every fear, breaks every doubt, because it's not about my performance, it's about who you are, God, and you are relentless in your love. God, let your people be a relentless people about your love, demonstrating your goodness to all those around, including ourselves. I think I heard one guy say, you know what, I don't even like myself. He's very judgmental about everything he does, and he's not performing the way. He knows God's got something better for him, but he's just not there yet. And I said, man, you're going to be all right. You hang in there, buddy. God has not changed his mind one second. He says, that was 20 years ago I got that prophetic word, and nothing's ever happened yet. I said, God has not changed his mind for one second about who you are. Doesn't matter what happened in your past. You cannot derail the G train. The G train of God is a solid foundation that will never shatter or break. He's a relentless God who has a relentless love, who will continue to be there, whether you think you deserve it or not. He will continue to stand, and he will continue to fight for you. It says in the Word that Jesus is up there making intercession for you right now. He says, Tom's down there, and I know he's having a hard time. There's things going on, and he's fighting. Lord, be with him. God, send him a message by your Spirit. Lord, send Fran over there, and just tell him. Tell her to just say, hey. And something broke. Come on, you're so precious that God cares to save his very best, Jesus Christ. And he's up there right now pulling for us, and he won't stop. No matter what you've done or what you've been through right now. Come on. Spirit of God, we receive the unconditional. Lord Jesus, help break our veil of what we even see from ourselves. As Paul was talking about in Corinthians, the old, it's a veil. It's not who you really are. It's not your heart. I see your heart. I know who you are. I saw you before you were even born. And this interaction of the Spirit, it belongs to you. My kitchen is wide open. Come on, his kitchen's wide open. I want you to know you can come to me right now. I want you to know you can come to me right now because I'm right here. I've always been here the whole time. I want you to give me that because I want to make an exchange with you. There's a heaviness. I'm going to switch it with the robe of gladness. There's a despair. But I'm going to switch with the joy. Because I'm about to give you something that can never be taken from you. It's me. And it's my Spirit. And from this day to eternity, which is never ending, you will always have that. No one can ever take it from me. Son, you belong to me. You've always belonged to me. And though there are trials and situations that we go through, I know every part of it. I know every part of it. And there's an exhausting thing that this world tries to bring us down. And I know it because I've felt it. And it's lonely. And it's empty. And I know it's not me. And he's never mad with you. He's not upset. And we see the struggle. We see the fight. And God, I say we release the joy in the Spirit, Lord. God, we release the fullness of your glory. We won't stop. You're part of our family. You're part of who we are. Storm, Jack, you guys are part of an eternal family. And you won't stop. And God, I say right now, help us lift everything to you right now. Guys, just get it go. There's so much that this world wants to put on us, but you are so much more than that. God, I pray right now you touch their spirits. And we stand with our friends because I've been there and I don't like it. But I thank you, Lord, for Franz. I thank you, Lord, for Jake's and Sandy's and Jim and Mary's. I thank you, Lord, for Deb and Frank's, Danny and Linda's that just keep loving you even though sometimes you don't feel so good. But I will be here just like God has always been here. It's okay. It's okay. Everything's okay. It's okay. Restore all the joy of my salvation. You guys, we all need it. I need it. You know what? I honestly need it. You say, Tom, you actually need that? I said, yeah, I do. Because there's times where I even wonder about myself and all the things that God's got, and sometimes it can be overwhelming. But I need you guys. God wants to show how much we need each other. You guys are the most beautiful people that I've ever known. Danny and Linda, you don't stop. And sometimes I wish you would stop. But you don't stop. It's inexhaustible love that carries on in a family through the ups and downs. That's who we are because that's who we've received. You guys are amazing. You stood with me, hopefully, the whole time, and continue to do so, and I feel that confidence here. And it sets me free, and I hope it sets you free too, that we can be who we are. And I could come to you and you could see some ugly parts of me and you could say, you know, it's going to be okay. And you could come to me and I say, you know, that's not who you are because I see you as God sees you. You mighty man of valor. You wonderful woman of faith. You When Jake says that to my wife, till this day, she kind of rolls her eyes and she'll smile. Because sometimes we don't see that about ourselves. Jake, you're a mighty apostle. You're a great worker. And I'm telling you what, your faithfulness is definitely about a faith that will endure forever. You've been so faithful. You've been so faithful in a house that sometimes doesn't show its appreciation to you, but yet you stood. You stood so the next generation could get a glimpse of what it looks like, what a man, what a father looks like that is relentless, that is relentless in love. It's not about always looking pretty, but it's about always being there. And as long as somebody's there, it gives me great strength and courage to know that you're always there. Same thing with my parents. Man, they're always there. I can always go to my parents. Danny and Lena, I can always go to you. It gives us great strength to know a Father God, and that's a resemblance of him, that he is always there and he is relentless. It sets me free because I know it's not about my screw-ups and it's not about my mistakes, but it's about a relentless love that I received. This is that light that the world needs right now. They're looking, and it doesn't look good because people are so judgmental. Even this actor guy or whatever, he's just a whatever. Who's going to talk to him? You get lots of thoughts about him. Oh, it's shocking. Really? Come on. Think about it. What does God think of that man? And if we would do that, the world would know that we are his. If we would love each other like that and others, the world will know that we are his. There's no stopping that. And it's right here and it's right now. Love you guys. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for such power and grace. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing yourself and showing yourself and removing the veils on our hearts to love again, to trust again. Most of all, you, Lord, that you would not take us to a place or in a relationship, and you would not take us to another place that we would not be overcomers, because it's not your nature, because your nature's in us, and we could trust that all the way to the bank and beyond. Father, continue to wrap your love around every person here. Walk with them this week and tomorrow, and even at this moment, I want the whispers of the Spirit of God saying, you're all right, we're going to make it. You'll see. I want to show you something about this. And I want to let go. I want to make a trade with you, man. How you doing? It's going to be all right. You'll see. I'm going to show you this. Thank you, God. I just want to thank him this morning. Thank you so much for your Spirit. Thank you for your glory. Hallelujah. Amen.
That's powerful. And share with others for the many years that he shared with you. And what they don't know at 20, give them your wisdom so they can walk with that wisdom and they don't have to go and do it themselves. You know, find every situation themselves, but you've given them something. And this morning we received something from the Lord. And as the word of the Lord came, just remember the healing from the inside out of us. Amen. He lives in us. He's healing us. And this world is needing the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we love you. We appreciate you very much. Thank you, Pastor Tom, for delivering that message. Thank you, ministers of the gospel coming from Grand Forks and bringing that powerful prayer. We believe that God is uniting us together for a great, great move of God throughout the earth. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful, 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 wonderful week in God. You're dismissed.